It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Well, last time we looked in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians today, but let's look back just a moment in 1 Corinthians. If we glory in men, in ourselves or others, then we have lost the purpose of the gospel. First, we're not to glory in man's actions, only in the Lord's. Secondly, do not glory in man's words, only in the Lord's. And third, do not glory in man's position, only in the Lord's. We have a right position as we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and we are in the Lord as saved people. Well, notice something else. We discuss these things, some of these things, as we looked at 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians teaches us that love is the answer to any of the struggles the church has as a group or each individual Christian struggles. Well, this is taught throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. And first of all, struggles over differences are seen in chapter 8. Struggles over rights are seen in chapter 9. And struggles over idolatry in chapter 10. We go on and we see struggles over oneness or unity in chapter 11. People need to work in unity. And then we see struggles over the body of life. In other words, the individual role in chapter 12, beseeching, therefore, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. And then, love is the answer, according to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. So we see that Paul the Apostle was the writer of this book, and we thank the Lord that God chose him to pen down these words and to have the help that he needed as a Christian, as the Apostle, to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul, let me remind you, he was simply a penman. God is the author of the book. He is the author of the entire scriptures. He is the author of the entire book called the Bible, the Word of God. Well, today we're going to look in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to see somewhat of a bird's eye view of the background, the purpose, and so forth. Well, 2 Corinthians, and of course we understand that Paul was writing to the Corinthian believers at Corinth, just as he had in 1 Corinthians. Well, keep in mind that the city of Corinth was a very wicked place, and not much unlike our world today when we see all types and all manner of sin in and around us. Well, we understand that there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, that means that without Christ, nobody is going to go to heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank the Lord that he sent his Son to die for us that we could be made righteous. Well, in 2 Corinthians, once again, we see that Paul the Apostle and possibly Timothy were the writers or the ones who had the oversight of having this book pinned down, this letter pinned to the 2 Corinthians. Now, God is the eternal author of the book. And I remind you once again, he is the one. He, of course, is using Paul, using a man, and possibly Timothy here to pin down the words that he would have us to hear in this book of 2 Corinthians. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. This would include Timothy as having a part in pinning down these words. He goes on to say that, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. And I remind you here that back in 1 Corinthians, we saw how that it was not only written to the church at Corinth, but it was written to those people who would be saved later on, to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. So we see that these books are written for our admonition, save people. Well, the date of the writing of this book in 2 Corinthians was approximately 57 A.D. It was written within a few months of the first book, 1 Corinthians. Now, the setting here is that Paul writes so quickly after the first letter, that's 1 Corinthians, because of the Christian's response to his previous message, 1 Corinthians. Paul's plans had changed concerning visiting them, so he sent this letter, 2 Corinthians, and there had been certain teachers in Corinth who had brought accusations against Paul. Well, the key verse here, I believe, in 2 Corinthians, is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Let me stop here for just a moment before we continue reading verse 14. Paul looked upon these Corinthian believers as his own children. And I believe that as we go out and witness for the Lord as saved people, those people who get saved, we need to recognize them as our children. We need to take them under our wing, and we need to lead and guide them to help them become strong in the Lord. Well, in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians, it goes on to say, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, keep in mind that these people in that area sacrificed to gods who were not gods. And what Paul is trying to say there is this. He was possibly saying this. There's some among you who are still worshiping these things who are not saved and still worshiping the things of the unsaved people. And these people need to stay away from, not to the point of expelling them away from you, to the point of not being able to witness to them, but don't be like them. He's saying, don't stay away from the people, but witness to the people. Don't be like them. Don't be worshiping their false gods. Don't be offering sacrifices to gods who are not gods. We see that Paul, once again, treated these people in his own as his own children. What about the purpose of the book? Paul seeks to give the Corinthians, who have shown a desire to follow Christ sincerely, he wanted to give them insights into a genuine walk with Jesus. And they have only seen the outward workings of Paul, and now there's a view of the inward working of God through Paul. But Paul's letter is based on their maturity in Christ. They had not matured very much. They had not grown beyond being babies in Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians, he had to feed them with milk. He couldn't give them the strong meat of the Word of God, or what he had for them through the inspiration of God, but he had to baby them along, and he was continuing that in 2 Corinthians. Well, Paul's specific message to the Corinthian Christians here is that he had a genuine concern for them. Well, now he does not change his attitude or actions towards the Corinthian believers, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. He still understood and believed that they had trusted Jesus well. They had really trusted him, some of them at least. Well, let me add here that just because you're a member of a church does not make you a Christian. Just because we have the attitude that we're born in the United States, that we are Christian, because we consider this, well, at least it used to be considered a Christian country. Well, the only way you become a Christian is to ask Christ to come into your heart. And just as this Corinthian church, there were unbelievers. There are unbelievers today who are members of churches, but they've never been saved. If that is you today, you need to call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If that offends you, that's another indication that you have never been born again. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to do so right now. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That means having a change of mind, knowing that you can't save yourself, that you're not going to go to heaven on your own. You've repented. Repented means you've changed your mind about how to get to heaven, and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Well, we see in 2 Corinthians that Paul is writing to both the saved and the unsaved. He goes through the plan of salvation and helps them to understand they need to receive Christ as Savior. Then, those who are saved, he wants them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants the Corinthian Christians to experience joy, not sorrow, according to chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. We go on, and we look at Paul and others who have become servants, even to the point of death for the sake of the Corinthian believers for the glory of God. And we look at someone today who becomes a martyr, and a lot of times they want to be recognized as such. Well, Paul didn't want to be recognized as a martyr. He wanted people to know that he loved God and that he was suffering for the Lord, not for himself, not for the glory of himself, but for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verses 11 through 13, Paul reveals his heart unto these people. He loved them, and he wanted the best for them. Were there many things we could discuss in the book of 2 Corinthians? And we need to understand that God wrote this not only for the Corinthian believers, but for those believers who are here today. You and I, we've been named. We've named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been named children of God if we've trusted Jesus as Savior. Well, as we look in 2 Corinthians, on and on, Paul talks about these people growing in the admonition in the Lord. He wants to admonish them to live for the Lord. And the application here is this. Our work for the Lord can be powerful. When we use genuine, open methods that are not deceitful, God can bless those efforts that we put forth when it's not in our own flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 talks about this. When we proclaim Jesus, we need to submit to the Lordship of Christ and realize we are to be servants to others, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. And then we need to understand that having a spiritual view of our ministry of reconciliation, you have a ministry. Today, if you've named Jesus as your Savior, a ministry of reconciliation, this involves knowing that Christ died for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead." It also involves living for Christ who died for us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, "In that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." God wants to use you today in his ministry, in the ministry that he's given you. First of all, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, "And this they did," in other words, talking about other people now, "not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." We need to give ourselves first to the Lord. Don't worry about the money. People get hung up on the money part of this thing, but God wants you. He doesn't want your money because it's his already. Do you know Christ as your Savior today? Ask him to come into your heart. And if you do know him, serve him today. Let him guide you, lead you, and let him use you for his honor and his glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.